أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب الله العالمين، أبي القاسم يا محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله. This is our fourth session in this discussion of analysis of the Battle of Karbala and the personalities involved. And in the last sessions we could compare these two armies, and we got to the point that one of the main differences in them was attachment to worldly desires in the army of Yazid, and those who were at the side of Imam Hussain were free from that attachment. And we concluded that if someone is attached to those worldly desires and worldly existences, then he might be deceived and his decisions might not be that correct, and it looks as it is one of our duties to get rid of that. Every attachment should be decided and graded by Allah. Abdul Amal al-Hubbu lillah wal-Bughdhu lillah. Best of the acts is to love for Allah and to be away because of Allah. So if He demanded us to be attached, we would be attached. And if He demanded us to be away from something, we would obey Him. Unfortunately, this sometimes a person cannot perceive the reality in something, and he be deceived from that issue, and the result is in the personalities of people like Umar ibn Sa'ad and Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Those were deceived, and they shown us what was the result. Now, there are certain more issues in this battle. One of the issues, I think, is how you define the objectives of humanity and how you see a person. We all know that Allah has created us with a lot of abilities and a lot of potentials in us. Some of us have grown up to the extent that they were very, very much closer to those prophets and those who are very close to the prophets. And some of us could not develop so much. How they could do this? And what we should do now, we are around 1400 years from the time of these revelations, and from around 1200 years from those personalities, from the starting of Ghazwat Kubra up to now, it is now around 1200 years. So what should we do now, and what is the objectives? What are the objectives of all these practices? Sometimes pieces are clear to us, but the whole picture is not very much clear. It is clear we have to pray and we pray. It is clear that we have to fast and we fast, and we obey different commands of Allah. But what is the original and the bigger picture? Where should we reach? Because sometimes we do all these practices, and after years and years, we realize that we have not changed. We have not developed. So sometimes it comes into mind that where are we heading to? Are we just sitting a single place and you say doing left, right, and not moving ahead? So I think the bigger picture should be clear, and after the picture is very clear, you can move even slowly but towards the objective. So if the objective is not clear and you have to go towards north, but because of not being clear, you unfortunately turned to the south and you moved very fast. It's not going to give you any benefit. Actually, you are going away. So it was better that you have not moved, actually. So be clear in your objectives. Be clear where you want to reach. And this is what I think Karbala has explained to us. Now, I have a description of this objective, and I want to explain it, inshallah, in a few sentences, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Right from the starting of what I can remember from my Islamic or religious life, every time we started to pray, we say Qurbatan ilallah, just to come closer to Allah. Now, sometimes I could think over it, what is the meaning of becoming closer to Allah? What is this? And in fact, what I could understand that this is the common theme between all the religions. All of them do want to come closer to Allah or whatever they do pray. And this is senseless to say that there is a distance, physical distance to cover. In fact, there is no physical distance to cover towards Allah. نَحْنُ أَخْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to him than his veins and his blood. So if he is so much closer, then you have no distance to cover. So why all these prayers and all these fastings? قُرْبَةً, because of قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, just to come closer to Allah. So what is قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ? And now I pray 3 rakat of, for example, Maghrib, and a few rakat of other prayers. Have I come closer to Allah after praying? And I can imagine, since so many years I'm praying, for example, last 25, 27 years, so have I really become closer to Allah? What is the meaning of becoming closer to Allah? Then we have too many terminologies in the same sense. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I want to establish a successor for me in the earth, on the earth. So what is the meaning of, someone representing Allah on earth? How he can represent him? What is the field of representation? What is this, that field actually? So some of these questions strike in my mind, and I started thinking about it. Then somehow I got a concept. And the concept starts from 99 names of Allah. We have Asma'ul Husna, that are 99 names of Allah. These are 99 attributes of Allah, explained in the traditions, in some of the most authentic traditions. So everyone accept these 99 names, being Shia or Sunni or any other Muslim. So they accept that Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Sadiq, Allah is Adil, and the other attributes. Now, what came to my mind that actually Qurbatan ila Allah is not a distance to cover. Actually, we need to reflect these Asma'ul Husna in our character. So if Allah is Rahman, we should show mercy. If Allah is Rahim, we should show kindness. If Allah is Adil and just, we should act according to this quality of justice. And each and every one of these 99 attributes of Allah should reflect in us. And the grade of reflection will actually decide the core or being closer to Allah. So if I'm an embodiment of my or manifestation of kindness and a perfect manifestation of kindness, then Alhamdulillah, I have come closer to Allah in this attribute of Rahman or Rahim, you may say. And if I am Sadiq, if I am I have truthfulness, it is complete in myself, I never go astray, then we can say that okay, this also reflected in me. And the more these 99 names or Asma'ul Husna reflects in me, it proves that I am now closer to Allah. And fortunately, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who try to and strive to come closer to us and come on our path, surely we will guide them. وَمَنْ جَعَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْصَالِهَا. And one who gives one goodness or one act of good deed, we will reward him with 10. So it came to my mind that if I could come closer to Allah in one of the attributes, Allah Himself has promised me to give me 10 of His attributes. So if I could become Sadiq, truthful, then Allah may bless me with 9 of His attributes, because He has promised me, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. And this is Allah. He is generous, and His rewards are never on calculations. He never gives us according to our acts. It is always for more than our acts. So I do think that a starting point should be to concentrate on one of these attributes and to give us a chance to be a manifestation of Allah, Allah's attribute in us, and it will pave the way for us for further development. And with this starting point, inshallah, if we could prove to Allah that we are really striving on His way, then the verse of Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, will be implemented on us, and surely He will guide us to the rest of the path. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Now there is a beautiful saying from Ayatollah Bahjat, and he used to say, I have seen his this saying in many of his speeches, that he says that this path of going towards Allah, if that was the tough path, Allah, who has more love than a mother, would never have prescribed or asked us to go on that path. Never a mother will lead her child to go on the tough path. She never want to, bring any problem for her child. So the easiest path she will guide. But unfortunately, if the easiest path was the wrong path, she will never guide. So he says that this path should be the easiest path. This path of going towards Allah should be the best path. And we should get blessing and we should get pleasure on this path. It is, somehow it is very clear for me that it is not easy. I cannot make myself always under pressure, always under burden of something. For example, if I see myself, for example, I want to pray my Fajr prayer, it is tough sometimes and it is not easy. And if you are, for example, fasting in the summer, if the fast was in summer in Norway, for example, it would be 14 hours or 16 hours, so it should be very tough. So, if there was no pleasure, how many years they could put them in burden? If in case of Ayatollah Bahjat, he had a spiritual personality, and we have a recorded statement from someone that in his early life, in his early teenage, he was a spiritual person, and he was praying too much. It was in his 20 years or 19, when someone stated that he got many blessings from Imam Hussain. Actually, I forgot the number, but he said more than 20 blessings from Imam Hussain. And these blessings were miraculous for us at least. And then he was such a personality in his teenage. And when he died, he was more than 90. So can any one person put him into burden for 70 years without getting any pleasure? It looks impossible. No one can do this. There should be some pleasure. And what sort of pleasure is this? I think it should be better than what they were losing. So if I'm thirsty and I'm losing the pleasure of drinking water, there should be some pleasure which is much stronger than the pleasure of drinking water. So I can feel somehow that there should be pleasure, and the pleasure will be given to everyone who proves him or her that he or she is on the path, on the right path. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for our path, we will guide them surely, surely to our path. And so the starting point of development is to become closer to Allah. And become closer to Allah means give yourself a chance of getting reflection of one of the attributes of Allah. And this reflection of attribute of Allah will pave the way for you, and you will go forward and you will achieve more and more of these attributes. So for example, if you did your best in becoming sadiq, may Allah give you His knowledge. And if you strive for being kind, may Allah give you His justice. Then gradually you will become a representative of Allah on earth, because you have all the attributes which Allah could have bestowed on any of His creations. Because some of His attributes could not be given to any creation, and some or most of them might be given. So this is the path for us, I think. This is in the simplest form, I think, which I could understand. And if you look at Kabbalah, you will see too many attributes of Allah manifested in those personalities. And here I do feel that Kabbalah is one of the proofs of Allah. Allah was there. Because that type of kindness, that type of justice, that type of sacrifice is not possible without being blessed from somewhere else. In normal terms, we cannot find those kindnesses which we could learn from Muhammad. At the day of Ashura, he was speaking with people, he was delivering his speeches, just to bring any one of them get rid of that hell which the army of Yazid going to face. Though it was very obvious that if 10 or 20 or 100 of them could have moved towards Imam Hussain, it could never have changed the apparent result of the war. But he strived and he struggled with all those hardships, and he was very happy when Hazrat Hur came to his camp. And he welcomed him. And he never said that, "What you did with me," as I said, it is a great manifestation of attribute of Allah, the kindness. How kind he was with his enemy when he approached him and he said, "Okay, you are forgiven. No sentence, nothing. What you did then, and you know what hardship you brought from me or my children," and nothing was said. And he said, "Okay, you are forgiven. Be closer to us, and you are my companion now." So, attributes of Allah being reflected in those guys. And why this thing happened? As I said earlier, they were not innocent. They were not prophets. They were normal people. Okay, some of them, for example, Imam Hussain was an innocent person. He was innocent in a particular sense, ma'asum, that he was from prophets. He was grandson of prophet, and he was Imam, he was ma'asum. But okay, rest of them were normal people. Habib ibn Madahi, Muslim ibn Awsaja, they were not from any prophet or from any actually particular family. And then we had John, who was actually, as we have heard, that he belongs to Africa, and he was black in his skin, but he was pure white in his soul and in his spirit. Strange, really. How it happened? All of them changed. And it is because of the purity of Imam Hussain on the night of Ashura that they changed. And they were ready to sacrifice. And something I cannot understand. I was in tough times, I said earlier, that I was sometimes in tough times. And some of these tough experiences can shake you very well, and can uproot you actually. But if you see the trouble, if you see the problems, and if you see the hardship in Kabbalah and the great lady of Hazrat Zainab, how she survived. You know, Arab ladies are very sentimental, they are very sensitive, and they show their grief and they are very famous for it. And 18 of her brothers were killed in front of her. And she was like a rock standing against all the evils. This is very strange. A man, I may not explain the difference between man and woman. In the Western society, it might not be very visible in their sentiments and their emotions. But in Arab society, it is very, very much clear, very much clear. A man can face too many hardships and you see problems, troubles, difficulties. But if it comes to a woman in Arab society, and we're talking about 1400 years ago, it was impossible, just impossible, that Hazrat Zainab, the great sister of Imam Hussain, could face so many troubles. But this happened. And how it happened? I think the event of night of Ashura is very important. When she came to Imam Hussain and she was crying, and she said that, oh brother, you see, enemies have moved in and they are coming closer to our camps. And she cried and then fainted. And at that time, Imam Hussain wake her up and he prayed for her and said, now you will be satisfied. Now you will not get troubled. And then the rest is history. You just go through it. It is really strange. And I think this is all because of the manifestation of the attributes of Allah that was going there. And you see, people, those in normal life, they will not sacrifice that much. But in case of Ashura, they did that. It is all because of their starting point. Their starting point was a beautiful point. They showed their movement, their jihad, in one of the attributes of Allah, and Allah showed them mercy. And when they helped Imam Hussain in the initial stages, then everything started pouring on them. So they could perform such an act which was impossible. Two of them at the time of Zuhr standing in front of Imam Hussain. He said, I want to pray. And the enemy said, we will not allow you to pray. And he said, no, we will pray. And we will pray in Jama'ah, congregation. I will stand in front of you, and the rest will stand behind me. And when Imam was standing there, it was very obvious that all the weapons of our enemy will come to Imam Hussain, and he will die at that spot. So two of them came forward, two of his companions, and they said, okay, we will be a shield for you, we will protect you. And that was Abdullah bin Sa'id Hanafi, and other one was, I'm not very much clear what was his name. And they standed there and they defended Imam Hussain to the last time of their life. So in normal life it should not happen, but in Karbala it happened. And it repeatedly happened from some of the person who are not prophets, who are not awliya Allah, who are not very close to even the families of those great personalities. So the essence what I wanted to explain, and unfortunately I may not be very successful, but the essence is start yourself moving into one of the attributes of Allah. If you work hard on one of the attributes of Allah, it will pave the way for further attributes to pour, to come closer to you, and you will be blessed by Imam, by Allah on these attributes. And I think this is the simplest way of qurbatan ilallah, getting qurb from Allah, qurbatan ilallah. And I think this will give you a lot of pleasure, this will give us a lot of pleasure, a lot of results. Sometimes we pray and we don't get any result, and we get tired. How much pray? We will pray and there is no result. Just like I'm shouting in the desert and not getting any reflection. And this is because we are not working on the attributes. So work on one of the attributes, pray towards Allah, and do your job, and inshallah you will get the response sooner or later, inshallah. It will depend on on our hard work, inshallah. So again, extremely sorry for that delay. We tried our best to be in time, but unfortunately that happened. And inshallah, we will try our best. I, Brother Rehan, and Brother Hashim, who was responsible to bring me here, we all, inshallah, try our best to come in time tomorrow, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay. Again, though we have don't have any much time, but okay, if you want to share something, if there was any suggestion or any question in this discussion, please come forward.
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
In this Western society, you come across different cultures and also different lifestyles as well. At home, obviously, if you're practicing Islam, when you go outside, which is probably the majority, 80% of the time you spend outside, you're working, you're studying and stuff. And when you go out, you make friends. Some of them are Muslims, some of them are non-Muslims.
Yeah.
And sometimes they ask you for, like, advice.
Okay.
Now, obviously, they may not be practicing Muslims.
Okay.
The advice that you give them, what kind of advice do you give them? Do you give them according... my thoughts are that you give them according to your religion.
Okay.
And you shouldn't contradict. Even though their lifestyle may be contradicting our beliefs,
mm-hmm.
would you give them advice according to your beliefs? And
okay.
So they sometimes ask you these questions and you come up to that, what should I say? This is really weird. How do I deal with this situation?
I think we should make it very clear to them that you know who I am and how I do practice in my set of values and what I do think about the universe. This is the solution. Or this is my advice. But okay, if it goes, if you know that that person is not going up to that extent that he or she wanted to accept your set of values and your set of, you see, universal view, then look at him and his set of values. So the closest thing you can advise, you will say. But the first thing I would like to explain them that if you want me to give you advice, this is my advice, the best thing, according to my set of values and my perception of universe. But again, I'm telling you, if after giving that advice, you must say that if you think that this is being a Muslim is not good for you, then the closest thing which I can say is this, the second advice. Okay? So if someone asks me, how can I get peace in my life? For example, surely you will not ask me for anything material. But if someone is asking for peace, for example, or what I should do to solve this problem, so first I will explain, okay, you know my perception, you know my views. In my views, this is the solution. I will give the solution. But if you think that you cannot accept it, then at least do this thing, the second solution, which will be closer to his or her ideas or perceptions. Okay? Because if you deprive him the first solution, which is the real solution in your idea, then in fact you might be misleading that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he is asking you, she is asking you, maybe that person is looking at you and want the real solution. So I think clarity, giving them a clear view, this solution and that solution, I think this is the way out. Okay.